The recordings have been started. Ms. Christina Nordstrom, you may begin.
Thank you very much. Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to this panel call today on the 24th of May. On the call we have Alan Greenberg, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Ted Suzuki, Tatiana Kramtsova, Michaela Nalen, Jim Spadell, Barry Cobb, Paul Diaz, Ron Wickersham, and from staff we have Marika Koenigs, Margie Millam, and Christina Nordstrom. Apologies from Siva Subramanian Mutasami, Mike O'Connor, Olivier Crepin Leblanc, Oliver Hope, Mason Cole, and Karim Mohamed Atomani. And please, may I remind you to state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to the chair.
Thank you very much. Marika, you sent us a whole raft of documents the other day, and if I have it correct, then we need to look at the changes to the comment tool, public comment tool, the specific questions you raised in the email, and to the extent we can get into it today, the full version of the report with updates, primarily your changes regarding making it a final report and my comments suggesting various changes. Have I missed anything important?
This is Marika. No, I think that's correct. I don't really know if it's necessary to go through the public comment review tool, because I think it just captures the comments from our previous meetings, and I don't know if that was your intent.
Well, I have a couple of comments, because I can't say I've read any of the documents really well since you sent them, but I did look at them, and I have a couple of comments on a few things there. So
if you give me then a few seconds to pull it up in Adobe Connect.
Seems to already be there.
No, what is up there is the report.
Oh, okay. Sorry. From the part of it that was showing, it looked like the comment tool.
Of course, now the document is giving me problems.
Oh.
So you can first talk about something else while I try to.
Okay, for those who have their own copy, the first one I have a comment on is number 19. Marika, I think we can just talk about it without seeing it on the screen. That's okay.
Yeah, let me see if it works now.
Okay.
It's trying to upload it. Nope. I'm having security restrictions on this document. No idea why, because I just converted it to a PDF. But
okay. My first comment, maybe the only one in this section, I'm not sure, is on the response you put in on the why we're keeping the eight-day period the same. And you wrote, the work group notes that the 8 days were a result of long discussions and should be considered a delicate found balance between the two different viewpoints that existed within the working group. No further changes are therefore recommended. I would suggest the word found be deleted. Just make it a delicate balance. It could be delicately found balance, but I think just delicate balance works. Michaela, we're looking at the found it. We're looking at the comment tool. And I added the work group, and I'm not sure the wording here is good, but the intent is the work group does note that its recommendation, I'll back out. I suggest that we add a recommendation that that compliance change how it monitors expiration issues so that we can report to council periodically on how well this is working. That recommendation needs to be added. I don't think it was added. but assuming we're going to go ahead and add it, I would add a comment here saying the working group does note that its recommendation to review results will help ensure that either the 8 days is reasonable or should be adjusted. Any thoughts on that? I think there was general agreement that we do add a recommendation on monitoring. Nobody is negating that, and I do remember Cheryl and other people agreeing last time, so let's assume that recommendation will go in, and I think we should make reference to it, because it's part of the rationale for leaving it at 8 days, is that maybe it's not right, but the future will tell us that, and we have no basis for considering 10 to be better than 8 today anyway. Not hearing any objection, I'm either assuming that everyone else has been dropped or I've been dropped, or I'm on mute.
No, not
or
dropped.
Or you're all agreeing. And I'm just scrolling
Anders
down
Rick,
quick.
I presume you'll be sending me the language as it sounds like you have already written it up.
I could do that.
Oh, it sounded as if you were reading from your notes.
I was, and I could send it to you. Or I could keep it a secret and let you have to try to reinvent it.
Right. That would be an option, too.
And that was my only comment in the thing. And whatever we put there should go into 21 also, which is a carbon copy of it. Now, one of the questions I had, which is not addressed in the new version of the report, is what are we doing with this document when we finish it? Currently, I don't think the report even is not included in the report, obviously, and I don't think it even points to it. I think we probably need to do that somewhere. All right, I would suggest we go to Marika's questions that were addressed in the in her email. Some of them refer to new recommendations, and we can defer those until we go to the recommendations one by one. But okay, most of them are the first four bullets are on recommendations. We'll defer those. The next is on implementation of the RGP, and do we need to specify anything? I did some review on that. I don't know if anyone else did any. I looked at the documents Marika pointed to, and I did some review of what current agreements say. The VeriSign agreements both point to an internal or to a VeriSign document which doesn't seem to be public. That is a specific version of the registrar manual of some sort. The other agreements that I found made reference to the RGP simply said they implement the RGP. So I think ICANN needs to do some work and define just what the RGP is in detail, whether that's a copy of what's in the VeriSign manual or a synthesis of the various documents that Marika points to. I don't see how we can require that it be implemented. ICANN can require that the RGP be implemented without specifying what it means. Now, I don't think we need to do a lot more work, but I think our recommendation needs to be worded to make it clear. Marika.
It is Marika. Did that implementation note, did that provide any further guidance, the one that I shared on the mailing list? Or?
I looked at them all, and none of them seemed to be at the level of detail that I thought would be needed, but I honestly can't. I glanced at it very, very quickly. Has anyone else had a chance to look at those? Those are the things that were pointed to in your email. Is that correct?
Yes, that was an email I sent directly after the call last week, I believe. Let me dig it out, and I can post it in the chat.
Well, it's also in your email you sent out yesterday, though, I think.
No, I think I'm just referring to the actual comment. And,
oh, okay.
I think, or maybe I did.
You pointed to an implement. I don't know. In any case, I think there has to be some formal document which a contract can refer to. And, you know, I'll leave it up to the ICANN people to be able to define that.
This is Rick. I just found a link to the implementation note, and it does seem to go in quite some detail, or at least you know, from my perspective. I'm just putting the link in the chat so people can have a look and see, because it talks about the different elements, creation of a new restore capability, interaction with FFL grace periods, add grace period exception, registry transparency requirements for deleted names, registrar transparency requirements for restored names, registry fees. It actually talks as well about inter-register transfer during the delete pending period. But I think that's why they actually said that, you know, at this stage they wouldn't allow that because they thought it was complicated.
Okay.
And
this may be all the substance that is needed. Currently, this is a technical steering group proposal, so I think it needs to be transformed into a document that a policy can point to. But that, again, that's an internal issue, and I don't think any of us are quibbling over the details of the RGP. But I'm presuming that ICANN will have to formalize the document if it's now a requirement. Do we need to say anything more than that?
This is Marika. So in the actual recommendation or the notes, do you just want to recommend, we suggest that ICANN staff look at this specific document and as part of their implementation plan, provide the details of the RGP?
Yeah, I think we can say that that particular document seems to include all of the specifications necessary, which ICANN will need to incorporate into a formal specification or something like that. I feel we're telling them how to do their job, but I can't imagine. Right now we have contracts which say we implement the RGP, which is not defined anywhere. So I guess I can't imagine that we could require it without specifying it. But I presume that people will do their homework properly. All right, the next one is, do we include the registrar survey and the PEDNR working group survey in the body of the document? My feeling is the working group survey, certainly not. It's huge, and it's not the clearest document because we refined what we were looking for as we went through this whole process. So I would think that one either should be included as an appendix or an attachment, or perhaps just pointed to on the web. I'm not sure giving it all the pages it warrants, even if you go down to single spacing, it is worth it. Other thoughts? None? I'm speaking on behalf of everyone. In terms of the registrar survey, I think that was core to what we did, and it was what we found there which gave us the motivation for doing a lot of what we did. The fact that the vagueness is there. Michaela is yelling at me because I'm not reading the chat while I'm talking. I suggest we speak up. We are giving you feedback. Okay. So Paul says move it to an annex. All right. I'm happy to move it to an annex. My preference is just move it out of the report altogether, but annex is fine. What about the registrar survey? Paul.
Hey, Alan. Yeah, just in the interest, it is Paul, just in the interest of, if not making it more readable, at least a little shorter, thought move the first to an annex for the survey. Agree with you, single space it, do whatever formatting necessary so that it's provided there, but whatever we can do to make the overall report less bulky.
Okay, are you talking about the registrar survey or the working group survey?
Probably both.
Okay, the registrar survey, I think, already is, the other one is in the table format, which makes it huge.
Agreed.
My inclination would be to keep the registrar survey in the body, but I can easily move that one into an annex if everyone feels that way. Is that a general consensus? I don't agree with linking to documents unless they're very secondary. Michele, I tend to agree, but I think that the working group survey is almost secondary at this point. It was part of our trials and tribulations, but I don't think it really gave us a direction. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just noted that the actual registrar survey is just 6 pages, and where indeed the working group survey was a lot bigger and over 20 pages. So I think it absolutely makes sense to move it to an annex. And like we've done for other working groups, it's also possible to, when we publish the report, to actually make the different parts as well downloadable in a separate manner. So people can choose to just to download the main body or only the annexes or everything together.
And does it violate any rules if we make it all single-spaced? Or the most of it single-spaced?
I think that's more a readability question. I think for readability purposes, it's some people prefer 1.5.
Okay. All right. Then let's. So we're moving the working group survey, the registrar survey. I didn't get any sense of anyone. Still not getting any sense of anyone. Move both to an annex, James says. I'm willing to do it if everyone's happy. Okay, they both go to annexes.
And this is Marika. What I can do then is point in either the introduction or somewhere to the registrar survey to highlight indeed that was the basis of our work and the discussion, so it's not forgotten.
That's good. Okay. Standard decision-making methodology, I think you're in essence referring to how do we designate what level of support this got. Is that the intent of that bullet?
Right, because it basically, this is Rick, and with the adoption of the new GNSO working group guidelines, this working group is supposed to follow as well the designations that are outlined in the working group guidelines, which I think differ slightly from what is actually in our charter. But the reason why I also pointed to it that, I think we spoke before about maybe having a poll and being able to assess the different levels of consensus, but the working group guidelines actually talk about polls as a last resort kind of mechanism. The preferred way that is described in the working group guidelines is more going through the different recommendations and for the chair on several occasions say, well, I think we have consensus. Do we have consensus? Do people agree? And if there's people don't agree, continue working on it. So there is consensus. And then once on calls, people feel there's consensus as well, put that out on a mailing list saying, look, we think, we assess that there's consensus on these different recommendations. Do people agree? If you disagree, state your reasons or file a minority report. But that might do away with the need of doing polls, which is often seen as a kind of voting mechanisms, which I think the objective of the working group guidelines is to move away from that and really focus on consensus.
All right. I think at this point on the people who actually have participated in the recent calls, we have unanimity in supporting these recommendations. At least no one has spoken against any of them at this point. What if we put out, once we have the text finalized, what if we put out a statement saying we appear to have unanimity of those who have participated in the calls? If there is anyone on the mailing list who wants to object and submit a minority report, please let us know within a certain deadline. Does that meet the requirement as you see it?
This is Marika. Yes, I think so. And I would encourage everyone as well to actually look at the GNSO Working Group Guidelines, because it also describes, if you disagree with the designation by the chair, what kind of processes are available, and as well the importance of submitting a minority viewpoints in cases where you feel your view hasn't been expressed correctly.
Okay, so we'll word something, but once we have the final recommendations, final as decided within the teleconferences and any email discussions, then we will put it out to a call for level of consensus on the mailing list. And the public review tool says review all the things. I think we've already done that. I, for one, need to go over it again and make sure that, because I haven't read in detail all of our comments, so I reserve the right to make some additional comments, but I think in general we're happy with the level with where it's going. Anything else before we dive into the report? Does the group want to just look at the recommendations first or the body of the report? My preference at this point is to go jump into the recommendations and see if we can come close to closure on that before we go back and look at the specific edits. No disagreement? Then can we do that?
The report is on the screen. If you go to page 76, that's where the section with the recommendations starts. So if you then scroll down to page, I think this is 79, is where you find recommendations 7 and 8.
Okay, now I had made a suggestion that we reorder the recommendations. I didn't hear any objection, but I assume we'll do that once the text is finalized. Is that your intent?
Yeah, this is Rick. I haven't moved anything around, and what I did as well with any the new recommendations, I just basically added them at the end,
yep.
Not to mess up the numbering and get people confused over the old numbering. So indeed, my idea would be at the end, once we've finalized all the language and all the recommendations, then to regroup whatever way the working group sees. These fit the different recommendations, and maybe just refer with each recommendation to which charter question it relates. So there's a way as well to track that back to the actual charter questions.
Okay. Has anyone else had a chance to look at these already, or do people want to sort of go through and have Marika explain what she's done in each case? Silence. You can interpret that whichever way you want, Marika.
Yeah, it is, Marika, so I'll briefly go over what I did, I guess. So basically, recommendation 7 and 8, this just captures the changes that Alan suggested in an email, I think, you sent before the previous call. So basically, I just incorporate that here, and Alan, maybe you want to talk to the changes you made.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think I really need to talk to them. What I did is try to identify the, separate them into the act of creating the text and then how it's used. And I think we talked about it at a fair amount of length the other day, and I'm presuming you made the modifications that we did talk about then. I didn't check word for word. I have no other thoughts. No one else is raising a hand. No one else is typing. Let's go on to 10 then. And I do have some comments on other recommendations, but let's do the ones you highlighted in the email first.
All right, so this is Marika. So recommendation 10, this is the one where we initially mentioned an exception policy or the possibility of developing one. Following review of the comments, I recall that there was discussion or a sense that people felt there was actually no need to actually develop an exception policy. So I've stricken that language out and just wanted to confirm that is indeed the intent of the working group, not to provide any exceptions in relation to the sending of notices and timing.
Yeah, the rationale for exceptions came from a concern that some registrars would feel that these new requirements just did not fit into how they did business, and some level of exception was necessary. There was pretty well unanimity in this call, certainly among the registrars on the call, that exceptions were a bad thing, and we're going to add a level of confusion and that were not needed. And I can certainly live with that if they feel that their stakeholder group is not going to react to this change from the proposed final report in an adverse way. James?
Yeah, I was agreeing with you.
Okay.
I think as we've discussed, exceptions are complicated. They, believe it or not, create uncertainty, whereas things that don't have acceptance.
Yeah, and, I agree with all that. The question is,
and they give compliance something to shoot for, so I can know what they're enforcing.
Okay. And you don't feel there's going to be any strong pushback from registrars for good reasons?
Right. I think we discussed this pretty thoroughly amongst ourselves, and this is what we came up with.
Okay, fine. Then we scrapped the exceptions. It's one less piece of work to do. We take six whole words out of the report. Next, 15 and 16.
Citizen Ricard again, so 15, 16, those basically reflect the discussion we had on the basis of some of the public comments that we received. So recommendation 15 talks about the best practice recommendation that basically suggests that registrars should provide in their explanation of the notification and method that registrants should save the registrar's email address as a safe sender so it doesn't get stuck in the spam filter. And then recommendation 16 talks about this the best practice recommendation in relation to providing a secondary point of contact at the time of registration.
Okay, a couple of comments. The implication in your first wording in 15 is that the address that this communication comes from is the address where expiration notifications will come from. And I'm not sure that's a fair assumption, one that we can make on behalf of all registrars. So I would suggest that we change the wording that the suggestions that the registrar include what address expiration notifications will come from and that the registrant save it.
Okay.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, which line are we on?
We're on recommendation 15.
Okay.
It currently says we suggest that the registrant save the email address. It's not clear what email address it is that they're saving.
Okay.
I mean, you're noticing welcome to the GoDaddy family may be a different from address than where notifications come from.
That's fine. And, we can say, save it and whitelist it, although, when this comes up in 3 years that spammers are using whitelisted, they're spoofing whitelisted registrar email addresses, just remember, we heard it here first, okay?
The spammers will figure it out anyway.
They will. Absolutely, they will. But
I'm not sure in number 16, I'm not sure we could specify a best practice for registrants. I think we all would like to, but I'm not sure that's within our power. Therefore, I would think the best practice is that registrars ask for a second contact, request a second contact. Not seeing any comments. Michaeli, is that your A what from before or this time? Michaeli, go ahead.
Sorry, what was this about asking registrants for what now?
Recommendation 6 says we suggest the best practice that a secondary point of contact should be supplied by all registrants, potential registrants.
Okay.
I'm saying I'm not sure it's within our power to recommend best practices for registrants. I would think we should word this that the registrar should ask for a second point of contact.
Okay. Are we specifying what a point of contact is?
Probably not. I think the intent, Marika, wasn't the intent of this one when we talked about it that they specify a second point of contact which does not use the domain in question?
It isn't, Rick. I think this follows from a comment from the ALEC where I think they actually suggested to make it mandatory that registrars ask for a second point of contact, which indeed I interpret as being a second email address to which notices could be sent.
But presumably a second an email address that doesn't use the same domain, which will not work anymore. But I think that was the intent of the ALEC one, at least that's how I read it. Michaeli and then James.
Bazinga.
Which means?
I think that's my cue, Ellen.
Okay.
No, I think we did have talks about this, and I think everybody generally agreed it was a good idea, and you're absolutely correct. We can't force registrants to do this. So I'm concerned that requiring registrars to ask for them, then, you know, inverting that means that if the registrant says, thanks for asking, I choose to disregard what you're asking me to do, you know, I'm concerned that that's going to be a backhanded requirement for registrars, and that's not what we're intending to do here. We're trying to control registrant behavior. So what I would recommend is with this language here is that it's something like registrars should advise registrants to provide, you know, and registrars provide a secondary email that does not result in the same email address of the domain name. I think that's fine, but I'm just concerned that, you know, we don't want something we want registrars to do to turn into a backhanded requirement on
registrars. I love your wording, if we caught it.
If we catch it, something, I think
it's on the recording, I guess.
Practice. Registrars should advise registrants to include a secondary point of contact, email point of contact, or a secondary email address for notifications that is not associated with the domain name itself. Something like that.
There may be some cleaning up on that, but I'm happy with that in placement of what was in the document. McKaylee?
I'd agree with James.
Good. Anyone disagree? We've made a decision. Number 17. The working group recommends that, and I think the document, I've made a change here. The document said that it should not be allowed. I would say replace the word it with transfer. Other than that, I'm happy with as it's worded. No other comments? Okay, can I suggest we go back to the top of the recommendations? Now, I have a few other comments of what I found as I was reading the new text. We're at the top of Section 10. And I had made a comment that I think we need a section. We need a paragraph before the recommendations, reinforcing the issue. And essentially, in longer form, the answer that Marika gave in the comment tool on number 20. That is, this was a difficult process. There were a lot of compromises made. We believe that what we have ended up with is something that will be adopted by GNSO Council and the board. And I think because that frames a lot of the recommendations that we've put here. You know, no, not everyone's happy with them, but perhaps everyone is equally unhappy, although I don't think we should use those words. Comment? Is that reasonable? No unreasonables. I'll assume that that was agreement. In recommendation number 2, McKaylee, yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to which is the actual wording that you're referring to, Alan? Sorry,
it's in the comment at the bottom of the first paragraph immediately after heading number 10.
So I'm trying to actually read this, and I'm having problems. I think I'm going blind. Hold on a second. Oh, there is a Zoom option. You're saying, so how would you, so what is the wording that you're recommending that goes in there?
I didn't try to wordsmith it. I just was trying to say that we want a paragraph which says functionally what I put in that comment.
Okay, so where's the wording going to come from?
I will be glad to write it, or Marika will write it. Or we'll get together and write it. I mean, if it's the intent of the work group that we say it, we'll try to say it in a politically nice way.
Let's see.
You'll always have the opportunity to say no.
Okay, the main difficulty I have with that comment, Alan, is I'm not particularly, I think, how do I word this? I think that the focus should be on the fact that we reached a compromise, not so much on that certain individuals within the working group may not like the outcome.
Okay.
If, you know, as in...
That's implied by compromise. I'm happy with not saying it explicitly.
Yeah, I prefer to emphasize the fact that this is the working group's deliberations were long and detailed, and that the end result is a good compromise or words to that effect. But I'd be wary of making any kind of comments about individuals not liking things. That's all.
That's fine. I said this. The comment was added as a comment, not as an attempt to wordsmith it, but to convey, you know, what we wanted to say. But I'm not wedded to the individual words, so that's fine. James?
Yeah, something similar. I thought that maybe we should just be more upbeat a little bit in that comment. If we were going to include something, I think saying what McKelly said, that focusing on the the positive aspect of what we were able to come up with, as opposed to the negative aspect of what it took to get there, is always a plus. I think we discussed also in other forums and contexts that it would be wise to say that we, the working group, feels that these recommendations are interdependent and should not be, that they are all predicated on one another, passing as a package. And I think if we've included that somewhere else, that's great. But otherwise, we could also introduce that here.
We included that about three lines before. Or Marika included that about three lines before.
Yeah, I think that's enough, along with what McKelly said about this was a long and detailed process, but in the end, we were able to come up with the following recommendations.
Yeah, and I think we can be positive. I mean, the working group feels that this is a good set of recommendations which address the initial problem, and so on and so forth.
But okay. Nobody got everything they want, which just kind of describes every day that I wake up in the morning and come to ICANN stuff. So
one day we're going to have to work hard to give you everything you want.
Yes. Just for one day. Just on my birthday, maybe.
That's right. Marika, do you have enough guidance? And I'll be glad to work with you if you feel the need to pass it by me.
Yes, I do.
Okay. No hands. In recommendation two, you added the words, this was covering the Doctel situation, and you used the terms domain should be interrupted by the registrar to the extent that it has the possibility to interrupt the DNS. And I'm not sure the possibility conveys the right details. I would have put something like, to the extent the registry allows such modification by registrars. Because it's really the registry rule that controls this, not whether the registrar has someone who's technically proficient in doing it, for instance. Any disagreement with that? Paul, we're on recommendation number two, the text that Marika has added in the third line of recommendation. Sorry, I don't have line numbers on the version I'm looking at. And I'm just suggesting change the possibility to the extent that the registry allows such modification by the registrar, I guess. Michele.
Look, we're talking about something more. It's more technical than that, I suppose. So, I mean, I would look at something. How would I word this? I talked about the registrar. Well, it should be to the extent, not extend. Should be E-X-T-E-N-T, not E-N-D. Sponsored by the registrar, to the extent that the registry permits such interruptions or something.
Yeah, that's close to what I said.
I don't want
this to be read as it's a registrar action, a registrar decision based on their skill levels or something like that.
No, I totally get that. I mean, the thing I was having a problem with was the concept of allow was, it's just for me semantically, I see a difference between the two, which opens up another nasty can of worms. If you follow me.
Yeah, well, can you suggest something that uses better words?
Well, I just did.
Oh. I hope Marika caught it, because I didn't then.
I did catch that.
Okay. All right, and I have a highlight on the word or at the last sentence of that paragraph. For a domain name suspended under Uniform Rapid Suspension URS, the informational web page needs not be interrupted or is exempt from this recommendation. I'm not quite sure what you were saying. Aren't those two sort of synonymous?
This is Marika. I think I just copied and pasted that language from the commenter that actually suggested this. So you need to ask them.
Okay. I think they were giving either or of how to implement it. So it either should be that such domains should be exempt from this recommendation, or we specify that they need not be interrupted. Anyone with real knowledge of how this works to prefer which wording? I don't care which. Again, we're trying to give guidance to the people who are going to have to write the actual policy within ICANN, so I'm not sure there's a big difference in either or. Or we could even leave the or. If we leave the or, it's or be exempt. Michaeli?
Why are we referring to the Uniform Rapid Suspension, which is something which doesn't exist?
I guess technically it should be the proposed Uniform Rapid Suspension.
If we're going to include it at all. I mean,
yeah.
I'm personally speaking as for myself, not for anybody else, just so we're 100% clear, I'm personally not overly happy with the idea of us trying to include policy recommendations for policies and processes that are currently alpha at best.
In flux?
You know, they're not, it's pre-alpha. I mean, it's kind of, it's on the drawing board. While I'm cognizant of the fact that some form of URS type thing may be implemented at some point, I think that's something, any impact that it may or may not have on existing policies at the time of implementation is something that should be dealt with that, not here. We have enough difficulties with what we're dealing with involving existing mechanisms.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Alan. I just wanted to back Michaeli up, and as I was trying to type in the text box below, I thought when we went over the public comments that we agreed that we would not include references to something like URS since it wasn't here now. The working group can anticipate things that God knows when this will come to pass, things in the future. So I just as soon drop that sentence, and you know, if and when it becomes an issue, it can always be addressed, but I don't think we owe it to any particular constituency group to try and imagine and foreshadow things that are absolutely not here with us now, today.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think when we were talking about the UDRP, which does exist today, I thought we said we would not include it in particular recommendations, but put an overriding one that all of the implementations should be done, you know, with full cognizance or awareness of UDRP issues, and not try to identify the particular exceptions that we needed in our process, since we're not attempting to pretend that there were UDRP experts. And certainly
okay, here, Alan, I'll give you an out on this one, okay?
Oh, good. Go.
I would put new paragraph. If a URS or similar process is implemented in the future, then the working group recommends that this topic be revisited, or words to that effect. So you're basically acknowledging that such a concept may come to be. I mean, or even add something like, we are cognizant of the possible possible implementation of a URS in inverted commas, but as such a beast does not currently exist, we cannot, you know, make recommendations on it. Either that or let's drop it completely.
How about a paragraph at the end of all the recommendations which say that the working group understands that some of the recommendations, and we may want to list which ones or may want to omit it altogether, will be impacted with rules of UDRP, and then we can add words like you just had if we want of the future possible URS, and, you know, they have to be taken into account in the implementation. So it's a global one. We're not trying to identify all of the if, buts, and ands within this working group, but we accept the fact that there will be constraints due to UDRP and similar processes. Marika?
That doesn't work out. I think just, you know, because the way Michaela described it seemed as if another working group would then need to specifically look at that issue again. I think it would make more sense to say, indeed, once the URS, you know, is implemented, you know, that effort should take into account, you know, what has been done here and make sure that they are compatible.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. But for UDRP, I would suggest that we don't try to identify all the if buts and ands, but
right.
Just put a global statement for that.
Yeah, so I'll try to capture that at the end as we discuss.
And there's another possibility at the end of the rationale, which should be adjusted with whatever words we use at the beginning. The four or five words from the end of the rationale paragraph for recommendation two. Marika, your hand's up again, or just left up?
No, sorry, I'm just trying to. Oh, you mean so it should reflect the registry language?
That's right.
The
same wording we used to have up at the top. Recommendation four was the one where we made reference to unsponsored GTLDs, and you added a footnote, but I think, in fact, the wording has to be changed. And I would suggest wording like, with the exception of sponsored GTLDs, and a footnote can define it, all GTLDs shall. Because we're trying to include the new GTLDs. And although the new GTLDs are not sponsored, they're not unsponsored either. No comments? Then we'll go ahead. That's all I had, except for new recommendation 18 on post-implementation compliance issues, which we need to write. Marika, do you want to try a hand at that first, or do you want me to try to draft something, or do we have any other volunteers?
This is Marika. As you want, I'm probably able to turn it around tomorrow morning European time, so I could first.
Okay, then you can try drafting something first. There was a question on the table at the last meeting on whether we believe there was anything else that needed to be reported to allow compliance to do the work. I think that's getting into a kettle of fish that we probably don't want to open at this point. I'm sure all registrars will disagree with me and want to provide more information, though. All right. All right. We are an hour into the meeting. I've had an awful lot of hours on conference calls today. I'm inclined to say let's cut it short, give people time to look at the other comments I made through in the report, and give other people opportunities to comment on the report if they choose to, and come back next Tuesday and look at the new versions of the recommendations and see if we're happy with what we have at that point and go over the other suggested changes in the report. Marika?
That is, Marika. Do we want to talk briefly about timeline for finalizing the report? And because I think if we have a kind of timeline, it will hopefully help people actually focus on the report and review it as well in detail.
Well, we have how many more weeks before we leave for Singapore? The week of this 15th is going to be probably dubious. For me, it's my last day, and I don't really want to do one on that call, which means we have the 7th and the 31st. We have two more meetings before we leave for Singapore. I think that means we have to do a pretty clean job next week and come back with one last review before we sign off on it on the week of the 7th. Michele says he won't be here next week. Are you comfortable in us working without you, or are you just for your information? Okay. I don't think we have a lot to do, and I don't think most of what I suggested is controversial, but I would like people to have looked at the comments ahead of time and maybe even put a message on the mailing list if they strongly disagree with something I'm suggesting. Marika?
Yeah, that sounds good to me, too. I still have my hand up. I'll take it down. I also see that James is not available either next week.
Well, what do we do? Let's say we have two meetings. I really don't want to leave this much to review to the last meeting we have before Singapore, because I don't think any of us want to miss that deadline. Do we want to try to change the day of the meeting or go ahead without James and Michele? Paul, are you around?
Yeah, I will be, Alan. But in truth, I would like to have as many of the regular participants available and on the call. Agree that waiting to the very end is probably a bad thing, so perhaps we can look to see if another time is available.
I'm certainly willing. Other than other conference calls, my schedule is moderately open. Marika?
Yeah, this is Rick. I think that will be quite a challenge, as I think Monday is a public holiday in the U.S. and Thursday and Friday are a public holiday in, I think, most of Europe and a long weekend. So that leaves very little margin to find, I guess, an alternative time.
Well, do people agree that trying to do it on the 14th is probably not a good idea? Try to hold a meeting then. I think that's too close to people leaving. Some people may have, Marika, you may have left already by then. I'm not sure.
No, I think I'm leaving the 15th as well.
Yeah.
I mean, an alternative would be if people really commit to, reviewing the draft we hopefully get out, tomorrow or later this week, and having conversations on the mailing list by identifying, issues or where people suggest changes. I mean, that's a way to work through it, but I guess that, does require people committing to actually reviewing the report and putting their issues on the mailing list and not waiting until the call of the 7th, which then I guess is supposed to be the sign off on the report, plus minus any minor changes.
I think Barry captured it in the on the chat of the infamous list, which we tend not to be using very well. I've already put my stake in the ground of the changes that I'm suggesting. So if other people want to veto them, agree, suggest changing wording, if we can do that, then we should be able to get through it next week, even without James and Michele. Well, at least if James and Michele do it ahead of time, then we at least have their input.
We'll leave the call for next week as is for the moment?
I think so.
Okay.
And you know, I mean, the only other alternative is to try to schedule two calls for the following week. And I'm willing to if people really want to. Well, let's leave that decision till next week and go ahead with the meeting next week and hope that we can get through those changes. There's not all that many of them. And after that, I think the report's in good shape. Any other comments? Then I give you back a half hour. Thank you for your participation, and let's finish this up.
Oh.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Teresa. That'll be all for today.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you.